Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth, the prophet Isaiah writes. Break forth, O mountains, into singing, for the Lord is coming. In his days, justice and peace shall flourish. It's a very natural thing that we as human beings, quite simply, desire happiness. And we know that it's very difficult to exist without happiness. In fact, no happiness really kind of means no life at all. I've heard happiness defined as two different things. That happiness is the good feeling of having or possessing some good. It can also be defined as having something to look forward to. But it's both the good feeling and looking forward to something totally of this world, something that's entirely natural. And because it's natural and because it's of this world, happiness is finite. It has a beginning and it has an end. And worldly or earthly happiness depends more on some created thing or earthly good, whether it's material or immaterial, like friendship. And sadly, our happiness can disappear. I use the example of having a hamburger. Everybody enjoys a hamburger. It's good to have a hamburger, and so you're happy when the hamburger is there. And while eating the hamburger, you have that feeling of delight because the hamburger gives that happiness. But then once you're finished, the hamburger is gone. And all you have left are memories, and there's nothing else there. You're happy for the memories, but you prefer to have the hamburger. And worldly happiness is like that. It leads to its own loss. But then you've got the supernatural thing of joy. Joy is altogether different. Like happiness, it gives us a good sensation, a good feeling. But unlike happiness, it's the inner peace that comes from having a sense of purpose. A sense of purpose. The origin of joy is not an earthly or created thing. The origin of joy is Christ Jesus himself. Christ, who alone can give you and me a sense of purpose and also preserve the peace that comes from that sense of purpose. The Christian receives and carries that joy not from anything on the outside, but from within, as Christ dwells in our hearts and our souls and begins to take over who we are. His grace is always there. It's no exterior force, and no exterior force, nothing, not even death itself, can rob a Christian of the joy of being with Christ and in Christ. When a person has that joy that only Christ can give, everything, what's seemingly bad as well as all the good things, work together for the good of the person through Christ Jesus, for whom we exist and to whom we give all honor and glory. Thus, St. Paul tells us in the second reading, "Brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord always. And I say it again, rejoice. In that joy that Christ gives you, your kindness should be shown to all." And that's perhaps the greatest sign that joy is there. Sometimes we might think it's having this smile all the time, or always being elated, or just being this bubbly person. Those things are nice, but sometimes that can be fake as well. A person can be in the midst of abject suffering, not even show it in the joy on their faces, but it's their way of life. It's how we accept joys as well as tribulations. It's how we accept the good times as well as the bad times, poverty as well as plenty. But in all of that, two things are evident. That no matter what kind of situation a person finds himself in, their love and their kindness is apparent. It should be known to all, as St. Paul says. You see determination, you see endurance, you see love, you see kindness, and that itself is the joy that comes from within. Because that person knows the Lord is near. Near to them and they to him. Therefore, St. Paul says, have no anxiety. Have no anxiety, panic, worry, any of those things at all. But in everything, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, make all requests known to God. Make all requests known to God. Give everything to him. When you can finally release everything to God, he gives that sense of inner peace and inner purpose. And then the peace of God, St. Paul says, that surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It works. It works. I know that. And many people who've tried everything else, from pills to power, have realized that only one thing can give the human soul the serenity it longs for, the joy it longs for, and that's God himself. Give all to God. Let God be God. Let Christ be Christ. And we find that peace that only he can give. Grace is the unfailing spring of that joy for the unbeliever, for the true believer. The unbeliever, on the other hand, who does not know grace, is robbed of that joy. The devil and his acolytes in the world always promise happiness through sin. It's a lie, of course, and we know that. And it's a poor substitute for the joy that Christ alone can give. Pleasure is finite, it's fickle, it's transitory. The Christian's joy in Christ, in grace, is deep and profound. As I said, it can exist even in the midst of the most difficult of trials and circumstances. And joy is also, oddly enough, compatible with pain and illness, with failures and contradictions. Jesus promised, "Your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you," and that is true. No one and nothing can take us away from the joyful peace that God gives us unless we decide to separate ourselves from the source of grace, which is Christ through sin. Brothers and sisters, to have the certainty that God is our Father and that God wants all that's best for us gives you and me a serene and joyful confidence that even in the face of sometimes unexpected hardships, Christ is there. I think all of us have come to know many people who have weak or little faith or no faith, who consider their lives meaningless, and then they blame God for all the problems that they have. They blame God, they cease to believe in God because they simply cannot accept the reality of the harshness of life. And that is the reality. Life is difficult, and we know that. People can be difficult, and we know that. But think also to the prayer that we pray at the end of the Rosary, the Hail Holy Queen. Here we are. We are truly indeed the banished children of Eve. We're not in heaven proper yet, but heaven begins in the human soul. If we possess heaven within, we have that serenity. Even though we are the banished children of Eve, even though we find ourselves mourning and weeping and suffering in this valley of tears where we're exiled, we know that Mary is the mother of Christ. And as the mother of Christ, she is the mother of grace. And we ask her motherly and maternal and merciful eyes to turn toward us and to show us the fruit of her womb, Jesus, not only after our exile, but even here, to bring us to Christ and Christ to us, to make us closer to her divine Son, to keep our eyes fixed on him from whom comes our only hope, our only help, our only joy. We all know we cannot ever depend exclusively on the changeable circumstances of this world, like good news, which can easily turn to bad news, good health, which can easily turn to poor health, serenity and peace and quiet in this world, which can all of a sudden turn into chaos. We don't always have enough money, and that can disappear very easily. Jobs can be lost. Creature comforts can be lost. All these things are good in and of themselves, inasmuch as they bring us closer to God and not further from him. But in the midst of all things, may we always seek our joy in the Lord and rejoice in his saving love, confident and unafraid, giving thanks and blessing to the greatness of his holy name.